Hey everyone, this is Tom Manning. I'm joined here today with my dad, Jared. This is my first podcast of hopefully many. We're going to be discussing the idea that the universe we live in is actually a simulation inside of a computer program, which is run by someone or something else. The general idea is this. At some point in the future, we're going to develop computers powerful enough to simulate a universe which is similar to the universe that we live in. If this is possible, then it wouldn't be too crazy to think that the universe in which we created on our computer program would eventually develop intelligent life forms that will then develop their own computers powerful enough of simulating a universe inside of a computer program that will go on to develop intelligent life forms, which will create a computer, which will simulate another universe, and so on forever. This essentially means that there is an infinite line of computer-generated universes and that there is one original universe that kicked off the entire process. Now, the odds of us being that original universe are essentially zero, and so it's theorized that we on Earth in our universe are actually part of a long or infinite line of simulated universes inside of a computer program.
So you're saying there's a whole series of nested universes, or there's a possibility that there's a whole series of nested universes. We can be the simulatee, or we can eventually become the simulator, and perhaps it's an infinite process that will go on forever, and it just makes sense what I hear you saying. If it is possible for us, then it's likely that that's what we are, is we're in a simulated universe.
Right.
All right. So what kind of interesting questions does this idea present for us? I mean, it might seem like a far out idea, but really any idea of how we got here and why we are here is a far out idea.
Right.
We just call it religion or science or whatever, however we wrap our mind around it. We never really can, because there's so much that we don't know. So let's just assume for a second that we really are in a simulated universe. What kind of questions does that bring up for us?
Think about artificial intelligence. We're assuming that this theory is correct. So that would mean that we are artificial intelligence, because we were created inside of a computer program that somebody else made. One of the first things that came to mind was, okay, so I'm conscious right now, as far as I understand, but I'm artificial and I'm not real, you know, I'm a computer program. And so I think about artificial intelligence today, think of like Siri or Alexa or something like that. Another thing I think about is video games and how basically you have these characters inside a video game. Given a certain set of circumstances, they're programmed to behave in a certain way. And they're not conscious of what they're doing. They're just a program that's being run, and they're given a set of circumstances, and basically they just execute based on their programming. Then that makes me think, okay, then if we're artificial intelligence, then are we really just a set of a lot of instructions, and we're programmed to behave in certain ways given a certain set of circumstances? I kind of get lost in thought when I realize that in a video game, they create the character. The character is like a 25-year-old man or something like that. That character didn't start from the beginning of the universe and the Big Bang happened and evolution and everything to get to where he was. He was just created right in that moment as a 25-year-old man in a video game. And so he was given a very specific set of skills for his very specific reason for being in that game, where for us, it's like, it just seems a little bit different, because we grew up, I guess there's more learning involved in the process. I don't know. You kind of see what I'm getting at there. It's like, I can't really quite put my finger on exactly what I'm trying to say here, but.
Well, I kind of do. I guess the one thing I'm struggling with is a computer program has a specific set of instructions provided by the computer programmer. If we're simply a computer program, that would mean we had no agency. We had no freedom. We just think we have freedom. I tend to think that we really do have free agency and free will, because I feel like I do. I know maybe that's not a good reason. I hope I do.
Right.
And so I don't so much like to go down the path of thinking that I don't have free will. So I try in my mind to say, well, if we are living in a simulation, how is it that we even got free will? And I might be going away from the question that you asked, but maybe that's what artificial intelligence is, because you were asking about artificial intelligence. The idea, as I understand it, behind artificial intelligence is that you create a program that then will learn things that you didn't teach it. You'll give it the ability to go out and search information, search databases of information, written information, be able to absorb it, and then understand it, quote unquote, in a way that makes them smarter. And so therefore that artificial intelligence can perhaps know things that the programmer didn't tell it to know, because the programmer just taught it how to learn. And so Right. You may know, the programmer may know nothing about the culture of Lithuania in the early 19th century, but artificial intelligence could read, you know, thousands of historical documents and papers about it and become an expert, and then therefore become smarter than the creator of the program. But does that, at what point does that artificial intelligence, one, have free will, and two, become self-aware? And I don't know if those two things are possible. Maybe they are. If we're living in a simulation and we indeed have free will, then maybe it is possible to create artificial intelligence with free will.
Right. We are artificial intelligence. We also are saying that we have free will. Isn't that kind of answer your question, what you're just saying?
Well, yeah, I guess the question answers itself. If you make the assumption that we're in a simulation, that we are artificial intelligence, and that we do have free will, and you also make the assumption that there's an infinite or potentially an infinite number of nested universes, then I think the answer presents itself that, of course, it's possible to create artificial intelligence that has free will, because we're evidence that that's the case. But we made a bunch of assumptions in there.
And, right.
And so it's really in testing those assumptions that we could get to the bottom of whether or not, you know, that what I talked about is true.
So our computer program has been running for a long time, like 14 billion years or something like that. So the universe is roughly.
Yeah, maybe it's been running that long, or perhaps, I don't know, maybe it was all hard coded in, so to speak, up to a certain point. Like the simulator said, all right, I'm going to create this on my own until a certain point, and then I'm going to start the simulation. In that respect, the simulation could have started at any time, any random time that the simulator decided to let it go without input. So I'm not convinced that it's been running for 13.8 billion years or whatever the life of the universe is, but it could be.
So you're saying that, I guess I just need some clarification on what you're saying. So are you saying that the universe is separate from the simulation? Is it in a different computer? I think of it like inside of an actual computer.
Well, I would say it's in the memory. All the life of the universe exists in the memory banks of the computer. But, you know, let's say we were going to program a universe or a simulation. We could put all our variables in and everything before the Big Bang and then press go and let it go. Or we could say, you know what, I'm going to guide how this simulation plays out for the first whatever time. Maybe it's just that first second of inflation. Maybe it's the first billion years. Maybe it's the first 13 point. Maybe it's up to that time where intelligent life begins to exist on Earth. And then you say, oh, okay, now I'm going to let it run. You know, it seems like we could program it to do whatever we want it to do until some random time where we let it just run on its own.
What about this idea? So what if we put in all the variables and everything to our computer program at the beginning of the Big Bang and then hit go and then let it run for however many billion of years until biological life showed up on Earth or wherever? Maybe there's a bunch of different, you know, areas of the universe where they are running separate simulations within the program, trying different forms of life. Or, I mean, humans came to be through evolution, and so maybe the computer programmers kicked off evolution in a bunch of different areas of the universe. But I feel like it would be, like, you can trace back to the beginning of the universe. You could take Einstein's equations and trace them backwards to the very beginning of the universe, and it explains everything from the beginning of time till now. So that makes me think that they just put in the variables and hit go, and then let the universe kind of get to a point where there was more elements and survivable climates and everything that was necessary to have biological life, and then kind of hit pause or whatever. I mean, because really, I mean, you're simulating this inside of a computer anyway, so you could hit go and it could be 13 or whatever billions of years, but to the programmer it could just be like a few seconds. I don't know, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think so. You're saying, well, time's really not a limiting factor for someone who's got a simulation, because they could run it super fast in their time.
And also the fact that you can trace, that you can look at these physicists' equations and trace them back to the beginning of the universe and, like, say, at this age of the universe, this is what was going on. If it was just, let's create this universe and then put people in it and run a simulation, I feel like there wouldn't be any traceability back to the beginning of the universe.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying. I guess I'm wondering if there's a way to create hard code the life of the universe in a way that is consistent with all the laws of the universe. It seems like if you press go on your simulation, what happens if you run it multiple times? Do you always get the same result? Or is there some randomness or some agency that it exists in the universe such that every time you hit go, you come up with something different? If that's the case, maybe the programmer says, well, I want it to go a certain direction because I know that only one in a trillion or whatever of these simulations is going to create life. And what I'm really interested in is studying what happens when intelligent life comes about. And so maybe there's a way that he can guide the program so that it ends up that the conditions exist so that life can exist. And so I don't know how much guidance, I don't know how he guides that program. I talked about maybe just hard coding it in up to a certain point, but maybe that's not even the answer. Maybe he, through running different simulations, he realizes, hey, if I tweak this variable, then it's much more likely that life, or it's certain that life is going to come about in the simulation. So I don't know. I'm rethinking what I said as far as hard coding it in. There's other ways that he could have launched this program to have more control over it. But maybe he's got no control whatsoever. Maybe you just let it go and that's it.
Yeah. It's an interesting point you brought up about if you were to run the simulation over and over and over again, and what kind of free will does the universe itself have on its own outcome, I guess. I mean, everything inside of the universe makes up the universe, and that does kind of get back to the question of, do you have free will? I mean, because I think a rock flying through space, that it's only acted upon by forces, and unless another force acts on it, you know, back to Newton's laws, and it's going to just do the same thing. It's going to fly in one direction forever if no other forces act upon it. But I don't feel like that rock flying through space has any free will. But as, like, human beings, we have choices in the things that we do on a day-to-day basis. I mean, or at least it seems like we do, because, again, we could just be – there could be, you know, billions or whatever programmers, and each of them has a person that they're controlling the life of, and we just feel like we're actually thinking these thoughts, but really we're being controlled individually or something. I don't know, but I feel like we, you know, you make hundreds, thousands of decisions a day, to the simplest things, like do I hit snooze one more time, to do I quit my job, you know. And so I don't know, I just feel like that up to a certain point that the simulation might have the same outcome every single time if you put in the same initial conditions and there's a certain law of physics and it's going to expand in this it's going to follow this law of physics, basically, is really what it is. So yeah, initial conditions and the laws of physics are the same. I feel like it's going to do the exact same thing every time, unless you do have living beings on inside the universe that are making decisions that are changing possible outcomes.
Yeah. What makes me wonder, though, this whole idea that if you know the initial conditions, if you know all the properties of every particle in the universe, you can predict exactly what's going to happen. But here's the problem with that. And the problem is quantum physics. And in quantum physics, there's the uncertainty principle. And I can't remember exactly what the scientific name for it is. But basically, it's impossible to know at a quantum level both the location and the momentum of any given particle. And so you can't, it's impossible to know all the information that you need to know in order to simulate the universe. And so I wonder if the simulation has the same constraints, that as it runs, because of quantum physics, it can't know everything, that there is some element of randomness that's built in, sort of like a random number generator. You know, when you do computer programming, sometimes you use a random number generator. And so by doing that, you can have different outcomes of your program every time. And so to me, the random number generator, so to speak, in this simulation is possibly related to quantum physics and the law that not all properties of every particle can be known. So maybe what I'm saying is maybe randomness or free will, if you want to call it that, is built into the simulation. And therefore, if you ran it a million times, you'd get a million different outcomes.
I know very little about quantum physics, so I have heard like the basics of what you described about it's impossible to know the location of any particle. And usually they usually assign probability that this electron is in this position, but it could be like there's a 99% chance that this electron is orbiting this oxygen atom, but it also could be like on the other side of the universe. There's like a 0.00001% chance it could be on the other side of the universe. Or
yeah. Every particle has a probability for its location. It's like a bubble, an infinitely expanding bubble. As farther you get out, the less probability it is that it's there. And you can expand it out across the universe so that it's the chance of it being on the other side of the universe is so small that you're pretty certain that it's within a certain area. So you can describe its location as a probability function, but you can't be any more certain than that.
And I guess that in the beginning stages of the universe, that the universe was a lot smaller than it is right now, obviously. So maybe the probability of the particles being in multiple locations at once was actually really high, or it was 50% here, 50% on the other side. I don't really know exactly what that means physically.
Yeah, I'm not sure I do either. It's just an interesting way of thinking about matter, in that you can't know, it's impossible to know all the properties about it. And so to me, that's related somehow to free agency. If we're in a simulation, our simulator doesn't know what we're going to do because of the law of quantum physics. There is some probability function built in for every choice that we make. And you add up these infinite number of choices and there becomes an infinite number of outcomes, I guess.
Earlier when I talked about the AI that is inside a video game, and the part that you didn't like about the video game analogy was that the computer program is telling it to behave a certain way and it doesn't have free agency at that point. But like, I've played a pretty decent amount of video games, and once you start playing them, for example, like I'd play this game and you have a partner and he's AI and you go through and it's an apocalyptic game and you're trying to kill all the people in the room, right? Well, I've played it on the hard enough level to where it's taken me like hundreds of times that I've had to redo the exact same level. So I've seen all the different possible outcomes. I kind of can tell that they're going to behave in a certain way, but I also know that there is some sort of randomness to it because sometimes they're not where I expect them to be. But I know if they're not there, they're either here or there. There's only like three or four possibilities of locations that that enemy could be in, or three or four possible reactions that my artificial intelligence teammate is going to react to where they're at, you know? And so this is a video game that's on computers that are modern to our day, you know? So it can only, there can only be so much programming that goes into that computer, but maybe the computer that's running our universe has like trillions of possibilities to behave in like trillions of situations, or there's just a bunch of different ways that we can react to a bunch of different situations, and they're all probabilistic, or maybe they're random to some degree.
Yeah. So, I mean, take the video game analogy back to its simplest form. Back when I played video games, like really early, like 80s video games, there was this car racing video game, and you basically just had to speed through these other cars. And there was like, this is, once you learn the pattern, you could just beat it every time because you just followed the pattern. There was just no variability in the game whatsoever. It was just programmed to send you these cars one way, and that was it, no matter how you reacted.
Right.
And so you talked about, well, based on how you react, based on whatever other variables in the game, the program will react in different ways. And but if you take that to a computer that's got basically infinite computing power, couldn't you program it to react? And you talked about it like trillions of ways, but what I wonder is, if you can program trillions of ways to react, that's still a finite number. Is there any way to program an infinite number of ways? Because if there's still some finite number of reactions there, or let me put it this way, if we have a finite number of choices in our life, even though that finite number may seem infinitely huge to us because it's million, it's billions or trillions or something like that, is there really free will, or does there need to be an infinite number of choices possible before we actually have free will?
What would the difference look like to us? I mean, would we know a difference between a trillion choices and an infinite amount of choices on the limited amount of life that we have on the earth? Like, would it really matter? Because in the end, all we're doing again is making choices. We're choosing either choice number one or choice number 5,700,063, you know? So I don't know. I mean, I don't see I guess it would be true if you want to say it's true free will isn't until we have an infinite amount of choices where we can do literally anything that we want, not just one of a trillion or two or whatever many things. So I argue that it doesn't really make a difference, I guess.
Well, and I don't know if it does or not. If somebody says to you, all right, you got a choice. I can kill you with my knife or I can kill you with my gun. Do you really have free will at that point just because you've got two choices? You know, how about the you don't kill me, or, you know, the one of a bazillion other things that could happen. But maybe you're right. Maybe given a certain amount of finite choices, we essentially do have free will.
I was going to say, even in your scenario you just gave where I'm going to kill you with this knife or this gun, I mean, it may seem like those are your own only choices, but you still can do anything or seemingly anything in that moment of time. Unless they've got you, I guess, tied there and they have a gun to your head and a knife to your throat, then I guess I just destroyed what I was about to say, because in that case you wouldn't. I mean, I guess your only other choice would be to just say nothing. But you could still, even in that point, you could even try to talk to the dude or something. Like, there's some sort of, it's not like you have to either say A or B. Like, you can try C, you can try D. It may not help you out very much, but you still have a couple other choices at least.
Well, but what if you're I don't know if you remember, you probably never played the real old video games. Maybe you have, like Oregon Trail, things that were totally text-based, you know, or no graphics. It was just words. And at certain times you had to input something and it would tell you to make a choice. And you sometimes only had two choices, enter Y for yes or N for no. Otherwise the game wouldn't progress. If you tried to put in Q, it would say error. It's got to be Y or it's got to be N.
Right.
And so if we're in a simulation, I don't know, do we have those things? I suppose we have a limited number of choices. Like I can't decide, press F and decide to fly. I'm limited in the things I can do, but
I mean, yeah, we are bound by the laws of our universe. And so I think that does limit our choices to some degree, does limit them. I mean, yeah, you can't just decide to teleport across the universe. I mean, people talk about like wormholes and everything like that, but that still would have to be within, they only look at wormholes within the possibility of our laws of physics. And if that's possible, not some magical laws that don't exist.
Yeah, but just because I can identify things that I don't have free will to do, that doesn't mean that I don't have an infinite amount of things that I can do. It's like when you look at when you look at sets of numbers, you say, well, the set of rational numbers is one thing, and it's infinite. There's an infinite set of rational numbers, and then there's an infinite set of irrational numbers. And so just because if my choices are limited to the sets of rational numbers, then it's an infinite choice, even though my choices exclude some things like pi, which is an irrational number. I can't choose pi if all I can choose is rational numbers, but I still have an infinite number of choices.
I don't know, maybe instead of there being, because I imagine, I mean, in the video game case, there may be three choices that this person can do. This enemy can go either left, right, or straight at this junction, but that's programmed somewhere into the coding of the game, like actual, like these are your choices. But maybe for us, instead of a giant list of possibilities, there's like algorithms that decide infinite amounts of choices.
Well, yeah, and maybe that's where I'm getting is it doesn't just have a list. If A, then run this subprogram. If B, then run this subprogram. And so we have some finite list, no matter how large it may be. Maybe it's just totally, okay, we've got a choice. And based on our choice, we are going to take an action. And those actions are going to have physical consequences according to the laws of physics. And so the program knows, okay, this action was taken. Well, therefore, you know, I decided to step in this direction or whatever. Therefore, things have to react according to these laws. And so maybe it doesn't have to know what possible choices. It just needs to know the physical laws that it has to then operate according to that. So I don't know if that makes sense. But
I think that makes sense, but that's just a like a cause effect relationship for how the future outcome of the universe turns out. That still doesn't explain like why I took the step in that direction. I may be able to look at all the things that come after that based on the laws of physics, but it still doesn't explain why I stepped in that direction, or if I had a choice to step in that direction, or if some other step in the opposite direction or some other direction in the past made me step in that direction, you know?
Well, I think that's the point. I see what I'm trying to do here is imagine a simulated view of the universe in which free will is preserved.
Yeah, and I'm just playing devil's advocate. Yeah. So,
and that's just my own bias. It seems on its face a contradiction that we can be both simulated and have free agency. And so I'm trying to resolve that apparent paradox is what I'm getting at. And so I don't know if it's even resolved in my mind. I'll keep working on it.
Well, I mean, it does seem like a paradox, but something you said earlier about being able to program artificial intelligence to learn, that seems to preserve the idea of free will. If I can program a computer in a certain way in the beginning to behave a certain way, but then also put in some sort of learning algorithm, however that works, I'm not exactly sure, but the computer is then able to live for however long it lasts, learning the entire time, then that seems like free will to me. It's hard because what does free will actually mean? Because it seems to me that you could argue free will means that you have a choice between any number of choices, and you're free to choose any of those choices. Or it could mean, yeah, if I don't have an infinite amount of choices to choose from, then I don't have free will. You know, those are kind of the opposite ends of the spectrum. So, I mean, just defining what free will actually is, I think, is kind of confusing myself with that.
Yeah, you know, this debate has actually been going on for thousands of years, but people have put it in terms of an all-knowing God or an all-knowing creator and free will, and have tried to reconcile those things. How can God be all-knowing if we've got free will? You know, if he's given us some free will, that means he doesn't know what we're going to do. That means he's not all-knowing. And if we're thinking of this in terms of a simulation, is it possible to simulate something, to program a computer program where you don't know what the output is going to be, or, you know, where there's an infinite number of outputs? And when I think of it that way, I think it is. I think it's possible to program something that's so complex that you can run it infinitely and come up with an infinite number of answers or results.
I think that goes along the lines of like parallel universes. And I'd like to think sometimes that where I am at this specific point in my life, sitting in my living room right now, making a podcast, is just one of trillions or infinite, or back to the other discussion about how many choices there actually are. But depending on my choice, I'm somehow sitting here in my living room making this podcast. But for some reason, I feel like every other choice that I could have made, I've also made. And so I'm also dead in some other parallel universe, or the youngest president or something. I mean, actually, I'm not even old enough to be the president, but I changed the laws, you know, like something crazy happened. But for some reason, my own conscious, I guess, or the me that believes that I'm me, just followed a path to where I am right now based on the choices that the conscious that I have looked at. It's almost like if I could take a step back almost to a fourth dimension, I guess, and almost look at all the different possibilities simultaneously, and for some reason decide that I'm going to go this path of choices instead of this path of choices. And that's what my conscious decided to do to bring me to where I am right now.
I'm going to go ahead and temporarily cut this episode right here. I'm separating this episode into two parts. So just look for part two of We Are Artificial Intelligence, and you'll find the second part, which is just a continuation of this exact same discussion.